Hello, and welcome to Why Wars Happened, a weekly history podcast where we talk about what led to war in history. I'm your host, Emily Ross, and today we're going to be discussing the things that led to the American Revolution, with a focus on Virginia this season. Okay, so where we left off in the last episode was that Jamestown was now the first permanent English settlement. The king in England ruled over a council in England, and that council in England ruled over a council in Virginia. Sadly, the council in Virginia was like Lord of the Flies, and everyone was so busy fighting for power and kicking each other off the council that England eventually was like, hey, okay, so a council in Virginia was a bad idea. We're going to cancel the documents giving Virginia council members power, and we're going to write a new document setting you up with the governor. Okay, so we have a governor now. One man to rule them all. No more fighting, right? Well, not exactly. The drama caused by the council being able to kick people out and fight each other for power was over. But the problems in Jamestown weren't all caused by the council's drama. One of the things that early Jamestown is famous for is a period at this time called the Starving Time. Again, this isn't a podcast about Virginia, it's about how things that went down in Virginia eventually led to the rebellion against England. So we're going to kind of skim over it a little bit here, but basically, there were diseases caused by viruses and bacteria, but also from a lack of proper nutrients. Scurvy, which comes from the lack of vitamin C, being the worst. The other thing was a lack of food. Within the first 6 months, over 60%, or 2 out of every 3 colonists, had starved to death or died from disease. The 10-year-old boy who came over as John Smith's servant wrote in his diary that the houses were muddy and cave-like, and that they had severe want for cleanliness. Everyone was a pig, except for him and his friend, who was also the same age. They shared a house with John Smith, and they worked all day to cook and clean for the three of them. A major reason for the starvation and sickness and general pigsty was that a lot of the people who came over thought that they were too high in rank to work. They were noble or gentlemen and couldn't be bothered getting dirty. But they still expected those who did work to build houses for them and provide food for them. The greatest thing that ever happened was John Smith taking complete control of the council as basically a one-man ruler and forcing those gentlemen to work. One of the many new rules he made was that if you didn't work, you didn't eat. When Smith published the law that you had to work and speak without swearing, a group of men gathered in the town and began swearing in what the 10-year-old boy said was worse than anything he had ever, quote, heard during a drunken brawl in the streets of London. John Smith came out of the fort with 6 burly men behind him. They grabbed the men who had been shouting swear words and held them down on the ground where, one by one, each of the foul-mouthed settlers got an entire can full of cold water poured down their sleeves. This might not seem harsh, but the boy goes on to say that each of those men had later said that they would rather be whipped than have water poured down their sleeves again. So that was that. You couldn't swear. You had to clean up after yourself. And you couldn't sit around all day doing nothing unless sickness or disability prevented you from working. This helped whip the colony into shape. However, food takes a long time to grow. And while they were waiting for their food to grow, they had to leave the safety of the colony and venture into the woods, into native territory. At this time, some of the natives were quick to kill anyone leaving Jamestown. But starvation drove the colonists to desperation. They had to eat. They had to leave Jamestown. On top of this, the natives often destroyed any crops the colonists could grow. One immigrant to Virginia called the colony, quote, a misery, a ruin, a death, a hell. People dug up graves to eat the dead. They also boiled clothes and shoes and belts. Some of them even dug their own graves and laid down in them waiting to die. Thomas Gates was the man that had been chosen to be the governor, and he had been on the ship that was shipwrecked in the Bermudas. England had believed him to be dead, and so did the colonists that made it to Virginia. But the shipwrecked crew had spent months rebuilding their ship on the island. When their ship was rebuilt, they continued their journey to Jamestown. When they finally reached Jamestown 10 months later, Governor Gates arrived and looked around for the settlers. What he found was that almost everyone had died from starvation, and those who had survived had starved to the point of looking like skeletons. Percy, the man who had been left in charge, was blamed. So now that Gates was here, what was he to do to turn the situation around? Governor Gates decided that they should finally abandon the colony and return to England. So the starving colonists packed up what little was left in the colony and loaded themselves on the ship. The small joy this brought must have felt indescribable. They sailed down the James River, headed towards hope at last, away from the misery, back to England. But another miraculous timing of an event happened at just that moment. That guy, the one who was sent to replace Governor Gates when England thought that Gates had died at sea, well, at that moment, he was heading up the James River and stopped Gates and the colonists in their tracks. This new guy was Lord Delaware. Yes, the state of Delaware was later named after him. Okay, so this guy was the guy who had the real control of the colony because the new orders from England said that he was the governor for life. Thomas Gates was no longer officially in charge. Gates would continue under him, though, serving as his deputy governor after this. Lord Delaware, now in charge as the governor, ordered the colonists to turn back and stay in Jamestown. They must have felt tremendous disappointment, to say the least. But turn back they did. 150 new immigrants, along with fresh food and supplies from Lord Delaware's ship, joined them. The colonies seemed to fall into line under the new governor. He was granted the power to rule with a military strictness and come up with his own laws that he thought were necessary. Before long, the colonists started to build actual houses and fix parts of the protective wall surrounding Jamestown. However, within a month or two, the sickness and disease set in again and started killing people one by one. Jamestown was also still at war with the natives, which kept everyone packed inside, still unable to go out safely for food. Gates had already left for England, where he would use his stories of success and keep the failures to himself in order to encourage more immigration and money to come to Virginia. Lord Delaware himself came down with a horrible sickness. He was on death's door and was forced to leave the colony to seek medical treatment elsewhere. Since Thomas Gates had already left, when Lord Delaware left, his deputy governor, good old Percy, was back in charge again. Great! What could go wrong? Okay, let's go to England for a moment. New immigrants were being gathered to come to Virginia. Several hundred people were chosen from the working class to come along. They chose working men because Virginia needed a lot of work and people who weren't afraid to get dirty. So, in March 1611, they set sail and headed to Jamestown. When they arrived, Percy handed control of the government to Thomas Dale. This, of course, was the wishes of the council in England and of the king. So now this guy, Thomas Dale, was in charge. Lord Delaware was really in charge, but since he was nowhere to be found and off trying to heal from the terrible sickness, Dale acted as the governor. Governor Dale soon realized that a huge, obvious problem was that Jamestown was built on a swamp. The sinking ground, soil that can't grow any food, mosquitoes carrying diseases, all of it was because they were on a friggin' swamp. 5 months later, our old friend Thomas Gates returned to Virginia, and he loved the idea of a new colony on better land. Land that wasn't a swamp. So, a second colony was created 60 miles away from Jamestown, and a fancy 2-mile-long protective wall was built around it. The new colony was named Henrico. The name, of course, was after King James's son, Henry, who was supposed to be king after James, but he died before he could inherit the throne. England even dusted off the old armor from the 1300s that had been sitting in the Tower of London for hundreds of years, rusting and getting out of fashion. They sent it to Virginia. So you can imagine these guys who, months before, were starving skeletons of men. They were now sporting around the forts of this new colony, sometimes looking like a medieval knight from the 14th century. People still got sick in this new colony, Henrico, but it wasn't as bad as if you lived on a swamp where disease bred in the waters and nothing grew that you could eat. Now, the two English colonies were strong enough to survive and get to the business of building an English society. This is where the dark cloud of government started rearing its ugly head. The colonists in Henrico started farming and growing corn, enough to supply everyone. This gave them a little independence from England because they were no longer relying on ships from England to bring them food to eat. A tiny, tiny sliver of independence. Thomas Gates not only brought over 300 new immigrants to Virginia, he also brought with him instructions saying that he was supposed to lay out the harshest laws possible to make sure that people weren't lazy and endangering the colony by refusing to work or committing crimes. Gates had been a soldier in the war against Spain, and he hated sloppiness and disrespect for those in charge. He was perfect for this job. Gates posted laws in Jamestown and Henrico commanding people to obey and listing the punishments if they failed. For example, every colonist had to go to church 2 times every day. You've heard that right, 2 times, every day. If you were caught not going to church one of those times, you lost your share of food for the day. If you were caught a second time, you were whipped. And if you were caught a third time, you were imprisoned for 6 months. Harsh. Another law said that you couldn't be a jerk. Basically, you couldn't go around saying bad things about someone or doing things that caused anyone disgrace. And if you did, your head would be tied to your feet for a month, where you'd be guarded every night to make sure that you didn't get a moment to stretch or relax. If you killed another man's farm animals, the punishment was death. If you washed dirty clothes and dishes inside the walls of the colony, you'd be whipped, even if you were a woman. This was to keep rats, bugs, and disease out of the houses in town. It was said that Thomas Gates did post these laws around the colonies, but he didn't really enforce them. However, when Gates left again and Lord Delaware was still nowhere to be found in the colony, Thomas Dale took over again. He chose one of his buddies there to help him rule the 2 colonies. And together, they enforced the laws with brutal impatience for anyone who broke them. They also added new laws, just as harsh, to ensure the colony operated in a way that would survive. Historians and people at the time had no doubt that these merciless laws were what kept the colony alive and helped it bring fortune and growth that otherwise wouldn't have been possible. This may have been good for the colony, but free Englishmen couldn't bear this situation for long. The people enjoyed a pretty good sense of freedom in England, and this is what they expected in the colony. After all, the colonists had been promised that they had the same civil rights and freedom that they would expect as though they were on English soil itself. The documents granting Virginia to the colonists said so in plain ink. So what were the colonists to do when the government had turned against them so viciously? Well, some of them fled and tried to find refuge with the natives. Some of those who fled were recaptured and then taken back to the colony, where they were put to death using violent means like hanging, being shot, or worse, being broken upon the wheel, which is one of the worst deaths a person could possibly suffer. Several men even tried to escape to England, but were discovered and shot, and then broken upon the wheel. Don't look that punishment up, really. Some of the colonists felt like they were slaves, being forced to work, or being allowed to starve or punished severely if they didn't work, and being hunted down and killed if they tried to escape. Complaints eventually reached England, and a bit of an uproar was caused there, but nothing came of it. There was no relief for the poor immigrants, at least not from England and not from their government, and not from the Virginia Company. There was, however, something in the colony that would bring them a little relief. A romance had been blooming between one of the colonists, John Rolfe, and Pocahontas. They married in 1614, and peace was finally brought between the colonists and the natives in the area. This peace would last for 8 years. Now, the settlers could grow food and hunt without fear of being killed by the natives. They didn't have to worry about their farm animals being taken or killed by the natives either. At this time, around 2 years before this, that same colonist that married Pocahontas, John Rolfe, he had been experimenting with the native plant tobacco. Natives had been using tobacco for generations in ceremonies and had shared it with the Europeans. Queen Elizabeth didn't really like the stuff, but it was very popular among the upper classes of society. By the year 1600, everyone, not just the upper class, was smoking it. However, the tobacco they used was bitter, and it tasted kind of bad. So John Rolfe tried to make it taste better by growing it in different ways. He discovered a way to make it sweeter, and he sent some of it to England. Then, the race for selling tobacco was on. In just a few years, a ship with 20,000 pounds of tobacco sailed for England and sold at 5 shillings and 3 pence a pound, which is roughly $78 in today's money or £61 in today's money. That's how much the tobacco was selling per pound, and they had 20,000 pounds of it. The life-changing money that the colonists had hoped to find in gold could finally be found in tobacco. Soon, the streets of Jamestown were lined with tobacco. The governor even had to pass a law saying that every person was to plant 2 acres of corn. Otherwise, the new craze for growing tobacco would lead to nobody planting food and everybody starving again. Even though Thomas Gates and Thomas Dale had been cruel to the people, they were credited with saving them at the same time. They had found the people in the shadows of death, sickness, and war with the natives, and had taught them how to fight the sickness, made peace with the natives, and brought prosperity to those who lived in the colonies. In the year 1614, Thomas Gates left for England again, and 2 years later, Thomas Dale followed behind him. Now, a man named George Yeardley was in charge as the new governor. So, there were many reasons for colonization. In earlier episodes, we covered the desperation of a poverty-stricken England that had been running out of resources. We covered James's massive debt and the need for a colony to produce items that could be sold so James could get a cut of each sale and pay off his debts. There was also another reason that wasn't one of the main reasons, but it was still important to people. There was a desire to bring the English religion and culture to other parts of the world before the Catholic religion could spread. But the biggest reason of all was profit. The charters themselves said that the company would get a share of all sales made by the colonists, and that they had to at least make a convincing argument to anyone who gave money to the company that they would get their money back from those sales. And some of the money from the sales would go to the king. The promise of tobacco was shining brightly on the company, and the world of fortune was at their fingertips. That's all for today. Thanks for tuning in. Join us next week when we discuss how the colonists tried to make things other than tobacco, but utterly failed, and how tobacco became the center of Virginia's economy, and how the king came to depend on it for money. Subscribe so you don't miss the next episode, and comment your thoughts on this episode below. See you next time on Why Wars Happened.